are we going to talk about?
Are you going to do your intro or are we just going to go in?
I'm going to add that later.
Okay. What do we talk about?
You want to play a license plate game?
Huh?
So you want to play the license plate game? No?
Nah.
No?
Hi, Fruit Basket. I just wanted to note two things before we start the episode. One is that Dasha and I did record this, of course, during the time of COVID-19. So we were wearing masks at the time of recording. And I also want to say that we were recording this while we were on the road. So you are going to hear a little bit of background noise. I tried to scrub it out of the audio as much as I could, but it's still pretty present. But it was a great episode regardless, so I hope that you enjoy it.
Welcome to Fruits of the Spirit, a bi-weekly podcast featuring and celebrating the faith journeys of queer and trans people of color. I'm your host, Enrique Cintron, and I am here with my friend, the Reverend Dasha Saint-Remy. And we are on our way to the beach because it's summertime, but we are in the middle of a pandemic, so you know we're taking all the necessary protocols, precautions. We got our masks on, we got hand sanitizer, we got all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
But we gotta get some vitamin D.
Yeah. How you been, friend?
I've been, you know what, today, I would say today has been such a great day. We are not even at the beach yet, but I've been all smiles because we usually have our yearly beach trip, and yes. I thought this wasn't going to happen this year. I'm glad we are in a space that we can get our sun in together and be in community with one another. Mm-hmm. We're meeting up a couple of our Mystic Soul Philly friends. So I'm excited. Yes. Shall I add, friend?
Yes.
Virgo season is upon us.
Yes.
And, you know, I have to add that because I am entering the last chapter of my 30s.
Yes.
And I'm just excited about what the new chapter of my life is going to look like. I just have so much hope and promise that I'm looking forward to unfolding in the next season. So I'm happy to be with you. I'm happy to start up the second season of Fruit of the Spirit. Let's get into it.
You know, as a Leo, I will gracefully cede the throne. It is your time.
Okay. That's not like a Leo, but okay.
Listen, I am.
You got a date. You got probably like 12 hours, you know, to bask in the
Thank
Leo.
Thank you. I will take
bask
that.
In the Leo seasons. Y'all know because y'all like to overflow a little bit. So go ahead and take it in today.
We do. I will admit that. Yes.
So, friend, like for real though, prior to today, the season of COVID-19, the pandemic, the racial injustice, just the ongoing shit that's been happening around the world. 2020, honey, has been a mess. I mean, it's been such a mess. Can I tell you, friend? I entered 2020. Listen, I know everybody did, but I entered 2020 like, shit, nothing could stop me. I'm on the way up. Nothing could stop me. I'm on the way up.
Yeah.
Nah, 2020 say, nah, sit down. Friend, 2020 had me on my ass, yo. For real.
You know, I think all of us were you know, we were looking at the new year and we were like, 2020, it's going to be the year. It's going to be that time. What's the thing that people say about 2020 vision?
2020 vision, focus, 2020?
It's
like the perfect vision.
Yeah. Hindsight is
2020, but
that's not what I was looking for, though.
Something about about 2020.
Something about
focusing 2020. On 2020.
Yes.
Have 2020 yes. vision.
I don't know. But you know, I think I too was like, this is going to be a good year. It's going to be the last of my 20s. You know, it's going to be, you know, the year when I get all of my like career stuff started. You know, and it's going to be the year when I like fall in love and all this other, you know, all this other stuff. And then, yeah, it really just knocked me on my ass, threw me down the stairs, knocked both of my kneecaps out, and, you know, just left me in a ditch. So
yeah. And how have you been navigating that? Like,
girl,
sorry to get all girl. In your business, but the reality, some full transparency, like, everybody has been going through it to some degree, right? I do believe, like, how we navigate it determines how we get through this season, you know? Like, how are you navigating? Like, honestly, like, a big part of my self-care during the pandemic is like taking the rest. Like, shout out to Nap Ministry, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we always talk about yeah, taking rest or whatever, and as an act of resistance, and here we get an opportunity to actually rest, right?
Yeah.
And once everything is lifted or whatever, we're gonna regret the opportunity we had to intentionally rest, and slowing down and not taking that opportunity. But I really rested because of my mental health. Because honestly, when I was awake and I was in my head and I'm thinking and I'm worrying about, like, yo, what, how I'm going to pay my mortgage, or how I'm going to, like, you know, take care of just the basic needs, or worried about, like, when's the next time I'm going to see my family or whatever. Like, it was tiring. I was so exhausted.
Yeah.
And the only way that I felt like, that I felt better about myself is when I actually slept and woke up, and I'm like, okay, I can take on this day. Even if most of my taking on the day was like 3 to 5 hours, and most of the time I was in bed watching senseless TV. And I'm, can I say I am thankful for senseless TV? Because
go ahead.
Because, like, I just don't want to think about, you know, I just want to just tune out the world. I mean, so much of the world was so loud.
Yes.
You know, I was one of the ones who went out in March, and I follow, like, I never watched the 8, you know, minute of the George Floyd when the cop was on his neck. Like, I just couldn't, like, I mean, it was just, I'm tired of seeing these images, and I definitely could not bear to see that, you know, in, while being at home by myself, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just so much. It was so overwhelming, and the comments, and, you know.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hi, sweetheart.
We'll put a hat in here. Pit stop.
But yeah, just, I was tired of seeing, you know, once the George Floyd news broke out, we had Breonna Taylor, we had Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, just adding and adding to the death toll that we were already experiencing as people of color, you know, dying. You know, and of course, what came out of it was like coronavirus. Like, you know, the one thing that has not yet beat coronavirus is racism, right? And so I just got exhausted, and so I was like, yo, I've never been the one to, like, have a TV in my room. I was so glad someone blessed me with one, and it's been the thing that I needed in this season, just to keep me away from social media and everyone commentating on what needs to be done or what hasn't been done. And in my part, like, my part in all of this, like, just do my part, right? And so, yeah, I was one of the ones that went out in March, because it helped my own sanity. It helped me being outside in community in ways that I typically am, had, you know, we didn't have a pandemic.
Yeah.
And it was good for me. And I'm glad to say that even after all of that, I tested negative for COVID-19. Recently got my result. Can I tell you, friend, we're going to be all over the place on this.
That's fine.
But waiting for a COVID-19 result is almost like waiting for STD result, friend. I was I'm like tapping on my Lord. Like, I want to be corona free. But no, I was glad to receive the results. But yeah, my mental health has been challenged this year, this 2020, you know, I mean, because it was a great, you know, we all experience a level of trauma.
Yes.
It is traumatic. Like, you have your mindset on what your year is going to be like. You have goals set and then you're just ripped away from that. Like,
yeah.
Completely ripped.
Yes.
I mean, and no control or no way, like, what's next? No control of, like, knowing what's next. We all experienced this. This was a traumatic experience for us all. And I'll go back to saying, like, how we navigate that time and space is really going to determine, you know, how we live out this thing. And I'm hoping people are doing what they need to do to care for themselves in this season, because that's essential.
Absolutely. Something that I keep coming back to, and I feel bad because I don't remember who said it, but I saw this really great tweet, like, this was years ago, but it's something that keeps coming back to me over and over, is, you know, somebody said that we were not built to process trauma on this scale, you know, like, literally, especially this year, but even, you know, going back in the past 4 years under this administration that we are living under in this country, we were not built to constantly, you know, react and to see all of these, like, traumatic things in our daily lives, you know? Because when you think about a couple decades ago, you know, when the internet was still kind of in its infancy, like, we were still very much attached to just the news cycle. And we got breaks from seeing what was going on across the world. You know, now it's like, you know, something happens like the explosion in Lebanon, you know, halfway across the world, we know about it instantly.
Yes.
So we are immediately exposed to some kind of trauma on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. Friend, that is a good point because, I mean, you remember around, you know, right after George Floyd, there's in our neighborhood, I don't know how it was in your neighborhood, but there was firecrackers going off, and I was like, I remember talking to my partner, I was like, yo, I'm giving them to July 4th, because I know they're gearing up for July 4th, they need to stop, like, it's like, I felt like, talking about, like, how people live in a war zone, like, I'm like, at any point, like, what does all this sound, like, why are people, like, still, like, making these explosive sounds in the air? I mean, it has been a very scary time for me. And then after the Lebanon thing happened, I remember one night, I think it was a night that it was thunder and lightning, and I was like, yo, like, just feeling so very afraid.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about it until, like, maybe 3-4 days later, because I don't be on social media intentionally. And a friend of mine was like, have you seen the thing that happened? And I'm like, nah. And then when she sent me the videos, I was like, oh my God, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
That could happen anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, especially because, you know, it was exacerbated by government negligence and thankfully, like, that government has resigned, you know, before people could push them out, because, you know, let's be real, like, that's what's going to happen next.
As they should, but that's the thing, like, we don't know what's buried underneath, you know, where we live and stuff, and, I mean, nothing is solid. I mean, our administration, like, Jesus, listen, we are entertainment for the entire world, we are reality TV.
Yes.
And if I don't stress, like, you know, folks need to vote. Like, I'm literally traveling. I've been thinking about, because I'm not registered in Philly, and I can't switch everything over and be registered in Philly to vote, but I think I'm gonna go to Florida and vote, because that's where I'm registered, and I've been meaning to take some time off to really be with my family too, and I'm gonna stay there for a long period of time so that I can really vote. Florida being a Republican state, they did not show up as they needed to for this initial go around of voting. I think I'm gonna do that. If not, I need to make a decision soon, because I think we're like at 75 or 74 days before the actual election,
something like that. Maybe more.
Yeah. If not, I need to go ahead and just change everything over and vote.
Yeah.
In Philly, because we gotta change this administration.
Yeah.
We really do. Four years ago, I remember saying, yo, like, I can't survive Trump. I mean, and I did, right? So we're here. We survived Trump, but at what cost? We're talking about the trauma, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, the level of trauma, like, the level of death, the level of loss, the level of grief, right? At a great cost, you know, and to this entire nation.
Yes.
And, like, who will we be 4 more years after this? I don't know. Like, I'm afraid to see who will I be under this administration 4 years from now.
Yeah.
So, if we don't go out and vote, like, for me, it's like, yo.
Yeah.
I think I'm taking a trip to Haiti. I got a couple of Haiti, Brazil, somewhere outside this United States of America.
I always say that I really just want to find a nice Spanish husband in Europe, because you know, the Spanish colonized my people, so they owe me.
They owe you a nice Spanish husband.
They owe me. They owe me.
Friend.
With their socialized healthcare.
That was my exit, friend.
Ooh. Ooh. Listen, we're on the road.
We'll get there. It might cost us a little bit more coming off of all this highway, but we get there. I turned the sound off because I didn't want her to interrupt. Maybe we should allow her to be part of this interview.
Turn her on. She good. She can be a part of it. I mean, the first time we did this, we did have a small audience at your house.
We did.
You know, this will be a little bit less interactive. You know, she's not going to really be commenting on the content of this interview. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with regard to, like, mental health stuff this year, it's been hard for me, too. I would say, you know, kind of the manifestation of that was about a month ago, I got shingles. Mm. And if you don't know about shingles, well, let me just tell you a little something about that.
Tell us, friend. Let folks know about shingles.
So, I really did think that I just had a bad heat rash, you know, because I noticed that I had some pain in my leg, and it was ongoing for like a couple of days, and I've had pain in the same leg before, so I was like, you know, maybe I just pulled something again or whatever, and then I noticed a rash, and I was like, well, you know what, maybe it's just a little heat rash, it's whatever, it's fine. Probably like a few days after that, I noticed that it was getting like pretty like debilitating to the point where it was hard for me to walk. And you know, I was just in so much pain. All right.
We just looping. Whereas, folks.
I was in so much pain, right? I was like, I need to go to the doctor. So I made a sick visit appointment with my doctor, and I showed up, and they had a doctoral student, a resident, that's what they're called. I forgot what they were called for a second. They had a resident come and look at me, and, you know, she's asking me all these questions, and then she was like, have you ever had the chicken pox vaccination? And I was like, I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest. So she was like, okay, well, the doctor's going to come in and look at you. And literally within 3 minutes of the doctor coming in the room, she was like, this is a classic case of shingles. Mm. And I was just like, they only ever say classic case of something on TV.
Was it all over your body or just in your arm?
It was all the way up and down my right leg. And kind of like going up a little bit on my back, on my right side. But it was, you know, like pretty much the entire like lower half of my right side of my body. And she was like, you know, usually this is brought on in people your age by stress. And she literally said, I would ask you if you're stressed, but, you know, and then she just, like, went like this, you know, like, made this, like, grand sweep. And I was like, yeah, you know, I can't really pinpoint any one particular thing that's making me stressed. It's really everything.
Right. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, I mean.
Yes. So I missed the window for antiviral medication, so I just had to wait it out with painkillers.
Was it really painful?
It was very painful. Mm-hmm. I, you know, would not recommend it to anybody. Would not wish it upon my worst enemy, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Because it's really like you are, it's like the worst pins and needles you've ever experienced in your life. And if you have it in your leg like I did, it makes it, you know, almost impossible to walk because every step is painful. So I could literally just, like, lay in bed and watch TV or read a book. That was all I was able to do during that time. You know, it's just so interesting, like, how bodies, like, you know, really try to tell us, like, you are stressed the fuck out.
Yeah.
'Cause even with my sleep, you and I were discussing this earlier, but, like, with my sleep pattern, like, I have heart palpitations now. It's hard for me to fall asleep because I have racing thoughts when I'm trying to go to sleep. You know, like, I will fall asleep and then, like, I just, like, wake up in a panic because my body is, like, convinced that I'm dying somehow. Like, it's scary. It's really scary. You know, and it's also frustrating because it's, like, you know, kind of referring to what you were saying earlier about this time, you know, being a place where we can actually rest for once.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because it's like, you know, I do want to be resting and recuperating and I can't.
Right.
You know? But I think even like in a kind of larger framework, like what I will say is that I think this moment is really, you know, showing us that the system in which we are operating is literally driving us to death. And we knew that before, you know, but I think it's really making this visible.
That's a good point, Brent.
Because, I mean, not only in the way that, you know, in this country, if you don't have some kind of income, then you are royally fucked because you don't have health insurance.
Right.
But also in the ways that, you know, we have to make a living, right? Because, like, you know, you have all these people that are saying, like, well, our economy is imploding and all this stuff, so we, you know, we have to sacrifice the old people in order to get the economy working right again. But, you know, this moment is showing us, like, there actually is a different way, you know? Like, so many of these jobs that we were told, you can't work from home, you can't, you know, have accommodations in the way that you work. We're now seeing, oh, actually, we can. You just didn't want to you know, screw up your productivity rates or whatever. You didn't want to, like, make it easier for people, you know?
Yeah, but even in that, friend, what I'm noticing, like, you know, I see my sister, who's a teacher, and who's a mother, you know what I'm saying? And the workload has definitely doubled. And so I think we need to reconsider, like, really how we are compensating folks for working at home, because it's taken away from home.
Come on.
It's taken away from home life. And, you know, and the thing is, like, you know, yes, you get to spend more time at home with the ones you love, but if everyone is working,
yes,
and working, like, I remember she posted something, 33 hours. Like, there is no reason why anybody should be working 33 hours. You know, it's much more demanding. I mean, and then not only that, she's working, preparing just in case school open, because our administration is so fucked and is ready to open up school and don't have no precaution around how we are going to safely open up school for our youth and our teachers and those who are a part of our educational system. But she has to do double the work. And I'm like, how are we compensating, you know?
Come on.
And yet the system in itself is already having a system in place to capitalize on the working class.
Yeah.
And I think that's problematic, adding more stress to the body, not giving time to rest, to recuperate. And so yeah, I think there's a lot to think through and consider, reconsider. There was this thing that I read about, you know, families, especially during the pandemic, you know, receiving pandemic unemployment. Mm-hmm. You know, there are essential workers who have decided, like, yo, if I can take advantage of this opportunity, you know, to rest and saying, like, yo, and collect unemployment, even if till the end of the year, like, I'm gonna do that, because who's to say I'll ever have this opportunity again? And people were criticizing folks for not going back to work, and I'm like, come on, like, no, we should not put our mouths on people, like, who've worked endlessly. And I'm talking about sanitation workers, I'm talking about people who are in a restaurant, I'm talking about janitorial staff, like, in the hospital. I mean, day in, day out, who labor.
Yes.
And clean, like, you know, we miss that, like, these essential workers, and they take an opportunity to take rest and break and have the government give them what they are owed. I cannot put my mouth on that, and no one should put their mouth on that. Like, good for you for taking the time. Good for you for taking it. I want to even say take advantage to taking this opportunity, because we have so long taken advantage of the working class, the middle class, the black and brown people in this world. And if this is an opportunity to reconnect with yourself and your family, and you can do it, take it.
I mean, I've seen some of those posts too, where people are like, oh, you know, this person is making more than I do on unemployment. And it's like, why are you getting mad at that, not at the fact that your employer doesn't pay you an equitable wage?
Come on, somebody. You know,
why are you getting mad at somebody who is taking advantage of what they are owed?
What they've already paid into the system.
Yes, and not at your employer who is exploiting you, who probably doesn't pay you benefits, who literally could not care less if you lived or died.
Right.
You know, like... Right. That's the most insidious thing about this capitalist system that we live under, is that it puts us against each other instead of bringing us, you know, together.
Looking at the system for what it is, looking at how it's built, going to the source.
Yes.
Like, I mean, pinning on each other is a way of deflecting, going to the actual source, right?
Yeah.
Something that our president do all too well, right? The whole thing, oh, this is a China, this the Chinese people did it. This is a China Chinese virus, right? They brought it in, right?
Yeah.
But Mr. Resident of the United States of America, you are the people's resident, right?
Yeah.
President, whatever, number 45. You have an obligation to serve the needs of all the people, regardless if they like you or not.
Right.
Wondering why, like, people don't like them, regardless of if they voted for you or not. Like, there is a response. Once you know, I don't know if you listened to Obama's speech, but oh my God, it's like, it made me miss, like, hearing someone who had, like, wisdom, thought, and really can bring folks together in a way of just, like, feeling like, yo, he didn't talk to me explicitly, but I feel like I'm included. You know what I'm saying? I'm a part of this United States of America.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, really, really taking the weight of the office, that's what he said, seriously. You know, to a point like, yo, this is about every single living being in that's a part of this nation. I think this pandemic has definitely opened up our eyes. I hope, if anything, to really look at the system in which we are part of, how we contribute to that. Mm-hmm. How we resist, fight against it. And the determining factor, I mean, honestly, the determining factor about how we view the system that we are in will be determined based on who is next up on the office, I think. Because if that man
that
wins, it lets us know, like, yeah, we are okay. We are content with the system that we are a part of.
Mm. Yeah.
If we cannot really collectively come together and vote and write our way into history the way we want to see it, then we're content.
Yeah. So. And I think even if, if we all come out and vote and we get him out at the same time, we got to just keep pushing too,
Right. Because I really don't think Biden is the answer.
No.
I don't think no one person is the answer.
Toll break.
Yeah, I don't think one person is the answer. I think the people is the answer. Just as we came together collectively to march and fight against so much of the oppression that we've been suffering for so many years, and came out in mass in lieu of a pandemic, we are the answer. We can do the same thing.
Come on.
And our votes, so by any means necessary.
So I want to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
So you have a show.
I do.
Yeah, your own show.
I do.
TTYL or not.
Uh-huh.
Tell the folks a little bit about TTYL.
Yes, friends. So, TTYL or not, Theology Talks You Like or Not. It was definitely something that was birthed in a time that I was dealing with a lot of grief and loss the first time I was on Fruit of the Spirit, I talked a little bit about my experience pastoring an all-white church and feeling very discouraged by the people in that space, not holding each other accountable for their parishioners, and feeling like very much of an outcast in that space, even though I was called to lead for a period of time, for such a time, which is, and I reflect on it now. I'm so very grateful for that opportunity, because I reflected on it now and seeing where we're at during this pandemic, where there's a lot of, there's been a lot of white guilt that has been coming up after people are forced to see, some of the reality of the world. You can't avoid it. You're at home and you have to see what's happening and how patriarchy, capitalism, white supremacy has been at the forefront always in all areas of our life, in reality, faith life. And people think like, oh, I'm immune because I believe in God and we believe in Jesus. And, it doesn't matter what color he was, just as long as his blood was red, right? Type of thing. No, there's so much more to our faith, and there's so much more layers to our theology. And that's really what TTYL is about, is really bringing different people to the platform. It's not just about those who have I come from a Christian Protestant faith, I bring all types of people onto the platform, because theology is not about Christianity. Let's be clear. People think about God and all of, and we usually think about the dominant religions, Jewish, Muslim, and and Christianity. Mm-hmm. But I want to bring everybody into the space. I want to talk to the person who is a non-believer, who once believed and decided not to. Mm-hmm. The one whose belief is rooted, it's more spiritual than an organized religion, right? Yeah. I want to talk to next season I plan on having a trans person mm-hmm. on my platform and really want to talk to them and their experience in faith, their own faith journey, but also their experience in the faith journey with community and how that has been for them mm-hmm. during their transition. Because I think it's important for, you know, a lot of people, you know, we are so quick to make judgment about people who are not like us and think and speak like, because of the faith we are brought in, say God doesn't like that or God doesn't condone that. And I think when we are exposed to people and we hear their journey, we hear their stories, yeah. I believe there's no way you can hear and be exposed to that lived experience, that narrative, and say God is not in the life of this individual.
Right.
You know, God did not move in the way they say, they report that God moved in their life for mm-hmm. them. There's no way, you know. One of my favorite shows that I've been able to catch up on, the second season of Pose, which is based on some true narrative around that season, that era of time, where what do they call it? Not house music.
Ballroom
dancing. Yes, yeah. Ballroom dancing was very popular in New York, and talking about like the houses, House of Evangelista, and stuff, right. and how they took in these young folks and created a home for one another,
yeah.
Chosen family. And my thing is, when I see those narrative, right, when I hear those narrative, for me I'm like, yo, look at God moving. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at God moving on behalf, like, of these people who are put out and marginalized by God's people, people that God has created, right? You know, if we all indeed is part of God's creation, like, we do this to one another. God doesn't do this, but we speak for God, right?
Yeah.
We speak for God and we become God's mouthpiece. And someone Ooh. Asked me, like, what is your aim with TTYL or not? And I keep going back to this, like, I am trying to liberate God. And people are like, oh, God, does God need liberation? No, God does not need liberated, but God is held captive in the mouths, in the minds of people. And it is detrimental.
Woo.
It is detrimental, Ooh. Friend. Ooh. We need to liberate God from our mouths and our minds.
Can you put that on a shirt?
Friend, TTYL and that coming up. Merch coming soon.
Merch.
That's what I'm trying to do, friend. That's what I'm trying to do. Because, friend, I can't tell you time and time again, my own lived experience. I have an opportunity to pitch TTYL or not so that it can be supported in a larger scale. And I pray that it is. Someone can see my vision and say, yes, this is what we need. But my own lived experience has been, you know, people don't understand. Naomi Lee Park, Washington Lee Park said this, you know, like, you know, people wonder, like, how is it that I exist, right? Hmm. And I think people have a hard time seeing that, yo, like, I am living my life freely, unapologetically. I'm not one to do the rainbow. That's never been me. Even when I was dating guys, like, I'm not one to, like, put my life. I'm a very private person. Hmm. But I'm also not ashamed of my queerness. Like, I embrace it.
Right.
I love it because I feel so free. I feel so free and knowing that this is who I am. And I can have faith. I can have I have a community. I have family who love me. And then there are those who've known me much longer. Go ahead, ma'am. There are people who know me much longer and don't understand my existence. You know, and there was been time that I've had to defend myself, and I'm like, no longer am I doing that too. Like, you know, like, I'm not defending. I don't have to speak for God and why I believe, you know, God is all right with me, and I don't have to do that. Like, I used to be the one like, yo, break down the Bible and what, you know, you gotta exegete this, you gotta look at the original language and really break down. I don't do that no more. Like, it's exhausting. Like, because at the end of the day, you gonna believe what you wanna believe in anyways.
Right.
All I'm saying is, like, it is well with my soul.
Ooh.
Me and God are good. You know what I'm saying? And the reality is, like, if it's hard for you to accept my existence, that's okay. Because God has also blessed me enough to be in a space and time where I've been able to find community, find family, find people that will support me through this journey.
Mm.
You know, yes. The family that we're born into, and I've been wrestling, we talked about this in the first episode, like, you know, our chosen family, creating family, like, the family we are born into, the people we meet along the way in our journey of becoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe they are important. They are essential for our foundation.
Yeah.
But once you know God for yourself, and I also, like, I said this last time.
Ooh.
And once you know God for yourself, and you can even remove the word God and you know yourself for yourself, because you yourself are your own God. You are the narrator and the creator of your own world. If you know yourself for yourself and you know God for yourself, there is nothing, the word of God says, there's nothing that could separate you from the love of God. There is nothing. The thing that you're thinking about right now that could separate, the thought that people say that they could condemn you to hell, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And for me, that is enough. I am content.
Yes.
I am content in knowing that. I don't, as much as I would love my family members to love me, accept me, and embrace my partner and all of that, the reality is, like, some of them are going to always have a hard time with my being.
Right.
Because they don't know how I exist.
Hmm.
How can you exist in this manner?
Yeah.
Because every life has condemned them for existing in a manner that said it was wrong. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only life I have to live. I'm going to live it to its fullest with no condemnation. So anyways, I got on the soapbox of that. You can edit a little bit of that. But TTYL is about that. Like, I really want people to feel like, especially the guests that I bring in on the show, like, yo, feel love that you're sitting next to someone who was definitely at one point raised conservative, mm-hmm. who's journeyed themselves through life and realized that, yo, this world is big enough for each and every one of us. However we come, however we look, however we love, you know, in any culture and tradition, as long as we take time to really listen to one another, hear our stories, hear our journeys, there's a place for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
If we take the time to make room, make space, take up space, but also make space. So,
right. That's
my soapbox.
Ooh.
Watch TTYL now. Season 2 coming 2021. Season 2 is upon us.
I think, you know, you and I are doing very, like, similar work in a lot of ways, but I think one of the most kind of liberatory things for me in watching your show and in doing this show is, you know, giving our people a chance to speak for themselves. Because so often, like, we have to be put in the position to, you know, kind of like what you were saying, like, kind of make ourselves digestible in some ways for a white audience, to justify who we are, to justify existing in a space. And, you know, I've been in the position where people are like, well, we want to hear from you. We really value your story and your truth. And, you know, it's like you have to open up and traumatize yourself again to share all these things so that white people can learn from you. And I think, you know, doing this show is an opportunity to reclaim that.
Yes.
To say, you know what, like, I'm going to tell my story on my terms. And I think that's what you're doing with TTYL too, you know, is to like, let us speak for ourselves.
Yes.
Let us speak about God from our perspective.
Yes, yes, friend. Yes, yes, yes. And I don't want to be capitalized. Like, I don't want to be used in such a way, like, for your consumption, for your approval. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, this is not what this is about. This is about just telling our story from our perspective. And can I say that I'm also even open to the conservative, like, there are some people who have strong conviction, like, this is the way the world's supposed to be, this is the order, this is, and to some degree, I am okay with that. I'm okay with the conservative lens, as long as it doesn't affect, those who are often ostracized or put to the side or marginalized. Like, you know, if that's the way you want to govern your life for your sake, and I believe it was the Buddhist monk, I don't know if it was Thich Nhat or the Dalai Lama, said, you know, your religion, your faith is for you. It is not for you to convert or force it upon other people. It is for you to govern your life because you feel this is the journey, this is the path that I need to take to govern my life and get the thing out of my life that I want to get. Mm-hmm. It is for you. And so if we can all leave with that perspective and still believing that there's room in this big old giant world that God has created... Mm-hmm. Not for it to be all Christian when we all look different. We all have, there's so many different language. To believe that this great big world was created by this great big creator, God, Spirit, for everybody to be the same?
No.
You've missed the mark. You have missed the mark.
Yes.
And in reality, you've missed God. And that's a loss. That's a loss, friend. You gonna get me go in. I wasn't ready for the word today.
Go ahead and preach.
You miss God. All right, we're not where we're supposed to be. I just had to pause a little bit. It's been good talking to you, friend. It's always a pleasure. It's such a good time. Such a good time.
You know, we do this all the time, but like, you know. It is special when we get to share it with other people.
Yes. And blessing on this platform, I'm believing that it will be bigger and better than what you even imagine it could be. And people will be blessed by it.
Where can the people find you?
You know, you can find me, Rev the Saint. Please follow me on Rev the Saint IG. Is actually at @_DeSaint, DASAINT _. Mm-hmm. I'm Rev the Saint on Facebook and also on Twitter. I'm Rev the Saint just about everywhere. You know, you want to cash app me? I'm Rev the Saint there. Venmo, I'm just the Saint.
Send a little tip.
PayPal the Saint. Listen, we try to build this platform for real, for real. But yeah, you can catch me just about anywhere. I'm DashaSaint @gmail.com. Hit me up however you want to contribute to the work that I do. It's much appreciated.
Yes. Well, thank you again for being on the show, for being an amazing, dope ass person.
Yeah, thank you, friend.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode of Fruits of the Spirit with my lovely, amazing friend, Dasha Saint-Rémy. If you want to learn more about Dasha's show, TTYL or not, Theology Talks You'll Like or Not, you can find it on YouTube. Just search for TTYL or Not. It's a really amazing show. I love it so much. So please check it out and subscribe on YouTube. I'm also going to post Dasha's social media info in the description, so you can check her out on social media as well. You can follow her on Instagram @_DeSaint_.
And of course, please share this show with your friends and family. Follow us on social media at FOTS Podcast. That's FOTS Podcast. That's our handle on Instagram and Twitter. And you can, of course, follow us on Facebook at Fruits of the Spirit Podcast. And if you would like to support the show financially, if you're able to do so, you can find us on Patreon and Ko-fi. There are links to that on our website, which is FOTSPodcast.com. And of course, if you know someone that would be a great candidate for an interview on the show, please recommend them to us. Send me an email at FOTSPodcast@gmail.com and, you know, share a little bit about them and their social media handles. I would love to check them out and reach out for an interview. And lastly, I just want to say, because Dasha and I were discussing mental health and rest during this episode, we really need to be about preserving and protecting our self-care and our rest during this time as much as possible, you know, because as we discussed, the world is really not going to make it easy for us to rest. And so it's important now more than ever to protect your self-care time, taking the time and space that you need to recuperate and recover and take care of yourselves. So please, friends, be about that. Protect that time and make sure that, you know, whatever self-care practices you may engage in, you know, whether it's taking some time to be in nature, whether it's something as simple as a nap, please take that time. And of course, also make sure to protect yourself and others. Please wear a mask. Please sanitize and wash your hands and practice social distancing. And so until next time, be safe, be well, stay fruity. Bye.